Okay, Chaver, let's dive in. Closing Se'ifim of Simon Kuf Gimel, closing Se'ifim of Vishalakim. Two particular topics we'll look at right now. This will hopefully bring completion and closure to our Limud of Simon Kuf Gimel. The first topic, Sif Yud Aleph, flows from the Gemara that we had been previously dealing with. Sifim, Hei, Vav, Zayim, Ches, Tes, you saw over the last couple of weeks, all deal with the issue of Shalom Aleichem, wow. All deal with the issue of Jewish participation. How much Jewish participation do you need in the Bishul Hanachri in order for it to be mutter? We discussed how much and why in the Lamed Ches, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis. Sif Yud Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to talk about another issue that happens to flow from one of those Gemaras. As we had quoted in the course of discussing the question of Jewish participation, the Gemara said, look, a raya that once the Yisrael puts the food on the fire, subsequent involved by the Nachri doesn't make an aser. So the Gemara, it's, as long as one hemshech of a meis avishal, so Gemara quoted a brisa. Originally it was a discussion in Amoron. Gemara quoted a brisa, Jew puts it on, the Nachri stirs, the Nachri flips, not a problem. There's an added twist there, though, which is that unlike in the other situations, the picture that the Braisa paints is not only that the Jew put it on the fire, Jewish man and woman put it on the fire, and then the Nachri takes over handling the food, but that the Jew actually left. The Jew left to go to the Beis HaMedrash, to Beis HaKnesses, to the Merchatz, according to one Girsa, to the Shuk. So that raises a couple of points. So one point is we showed the Rabbeinu Hanana, we have Rabbeinu Hanana, sorry, the Gemara, many we showed him quote, the Rosh, the Rashba, and others, and the Ritzva, the Ran, the Okra, Rabbeinu Hanana. Rabbeinu Hanana says, well, hold on one second, this is mutter from a Bishalakim perspective. The fact that the Nachri is busy continuing to work on the food that the Jew had initially put in the fire, that per se doesn't make a Bishalakim. The Jew put it on, it's good enough. But bear in mind that there are other simanim in Yaradeya besides Simon Kuf Gimel, and you got to make sure that your ingredients are kosher. So you got to make sure that while you were gone, that the Nachri didn't swap out this piece of meat for another piece of meat. So Rabbi Hanal says, or we're saying it's mutter, only if you also cover your bases in terms of chiluv. And then we showed him explain the Rosh and Rashba, they say, they give examples. So either it was a closed environment, the Nachri was in a kitchen, couldn't go in and out, and you know that all the ingredients in the kitchen are kosher, so you know that there was no non-kosher food that could have been swapped in, or it's an open environment, but there's a spot check. There's Yotzev v'nichnas. In theory, the Nachri could have swapped it, but he knows that he's not supposed to, and he knows that you're randomly going to be walking in and out, so that solves the problem. So that's one point. Okay. Obviously, you got to, just like whenever you talk about Bishalakim, we're assuming that the ingredients you're beginning with are kosher. So, too, if the straw leaves, you have to make sure that you have proper hashkacha in place. That's discussed in other simanim in Yeridah. The Rashba points out that this Rabbeinu Hananel gets you thinking about another angle as well. Forget about the safek. Rabbi Hanal says you do have to be concerned with the safek of chiluf, that maybe he swapped this kosher piece of meat for a non-kosher piece of meat. Maybe he swapped it for boar's head pastrami. The Rashba says, how about a different safek? Not just safek shema hichluf, how about safek shema silek? The Gemara just got done saying that if Yisrael puts the food on the fire, but then the Nachri, then it came off, and the Nachri puts it back on. It's a two separate Maaseh Bishul, and the Jew was not at all involved in the second Maaseh Bishul. That may or may not be also, that we discussed last time. Gemara says that if the Jew's first Maaseh Bishul did not get it to Machal Ben Drusa, didn't even get it to Shlish Bishulo, the lower standard of Machal Ben Drusa, so the Nachri put it back on the fire, it was basically raw, and the Nachri's Bishol got it to Machab and Jusai, said Taku the Yasser. So the Rashba says, well, you weren't there, so you know what happened. A closed environment doesn't help. A closed environment means no other ingredients were inserted, but it doesn't tell you It doesn't tell you that that he didn't take that piece of meat off and put it back on. So the Rashba says, you're right. You're right. And apparently we're not worried about that suffix. We are worried, Rabbi Chanan told us about a suffix of Shem Hechlef, but we're not worried about a suffix Shem Asilik. And we just said, why? Why? So he looked in the Rashba, turns up, I see he gives three explanations. Number one, three points, I would say. Two svaras. His third point is, you see from this Bryce, it must be mutter. Okay, for whatever reason, obviously it's mutter. And why? So he gives two svaras. The first svar the Rashba gives is also quoted by the Tur. The second svar the Rashba gives is also quoted by the Ritva. The first svar was, Safed Rabban Lahakal. Bishalakim is an Isser Rabban. Even if it's Vaday Bishalakim, Vaday Silik. And then before quoted Machal Ben Jusad. So what you created maximum was an Isser Rabban of Bishalakim. So Orthodox Jews keep drabbans with the same fervor and excitement to keep daraisas, but there are different parameters. So if it's only a suffix, whether it's bishalakim or not, so suffix is mutter. That's number one. Number two, the Rashba says, and this is the svar that's quoted by the Ritva here in his Chiddush on Avodah Zarah, is there's no reason to assume he would have taken off maha na yeshlo. What is a nachri gain by taking off and putting it back on? No. If you tell me a conservative, he swapped it. Oh, maybe he was hungry. So he ate your food, and then he, later on, he couldn't wait to eat, he ate your food. Later on, he went and got himself something else to put in his place. Or maybe he put on a lower grade. He likes your steak more, so he'll bring an inferior steak. There might be a reason why the Nachri might have a taiva. He doesn't have Yerushalayim, he doesn't have the Nemanus. So then there's a reason to be concerned that he might have swapped it. But there's no reason to assume. What would the Nachri have gained by being Masalik? So those are the two svaras that the Rashba gives. As you see from the Gebraisa, you see from the Chananel that we're not worried about suffix silik, either because safra ban lahakel or because ma hana yeshlo. That's quoted Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Aleph after the five seifim about the rules of hishtatpes Israel. Sif Yud Aleph didn't work out for the Zayil Gemara. Nichesol gavei esh nich akum l'shamro hafbach bo ein yaduim silko. And then in parentheses, Rama presumably, Safir Vayim Lahakal. That's the first star of the Rashba, which the Tur quoted. And then the Rama goes on to say, V'chein tol Safik Bishalakim, V'cheos de Mutter, or any other Safik Bishalakim. Also Mutter. Or any other Safik Bishalakim, or anything like that. Or anything like that. So it's a couple of Ha'aris here. Her number one is a point of Shach makes, which is really more relevant to the previous discussion, but it emerges from here. So the Bach had come up with a kula that, based on this discussion, is very questionable. The Bach had said that the whole issue of siluk is only if the Jew took it off and the non-Jew put it back on. So it ended the first Maisa, the Jew took it. Jew put it on, took it off, ended the first Maisa, then Nachri shows up and puts it back on. The Bach says, that's what we're worried about, siluk. The Bach says, but if the Nachri took it off and put it back on, he just undid what he did, you just backed the original Maisa. It's an interesting svara, you gotta think about it a little more. Definitely studim lakan or lakan. It's by far not an obvious svara lahako. La Maisa came off. Who cares who took it off? The Yisrael's Bishul is done, and now went back on. But in addition to the fact that it may be questionable in Svara, Shach points out it's this whole discussion we've shown him is lechor flat against the Bach. We're discussing it. Do I have to be concerned with the suffix that may be Sile Kanachri? Assumption being, the premise is, but if I know that Sile Kanachri, it would be Aser. There you go. Sile Kanachri, and then he put it back on. I didn't take it off. Because maybe he took it off and put it back on. When I left, I put it on the fire, I walk away. I come back 20 minutes later. Maybe when I was gone, the Nachri took it off and put it back on. So the Shach says, one can be madchik, but the Pashtus is not like the Bach. Pashtus is, the siluk before Machal ben Jusai would be a problem, even if it's the Nachri who took it off, as well as put it back on. Okay, so that's point number one that the Shach makes here. Point number two, getting to the heart of the issue, interesting discussion, the Taz and the Chalkos Binyamin. The Taz is already seems to be sensitive to the language of the Ramah. The Ramah said, The reason why it's mutter is safek dvarim lahakam. Okay, the first svar of the Rashba. Chen kol safek bishalakam. Or any other safek bishalakam. So, what will be another safek bishalakam? So the Tal says, yeah, for example, you're not sure if you're a machate. Shrei came with sivdalet in the context of shvachas. Right, what means you're not sure if you're a machate? It means, let's talk about the reverse case. Up until we're talking about the case where the Jew put it on first. Let's say a case where a non-Jew put the food on. Say, if you're machate the fire, you make it mutter. Let's say you don't remember for sure. You think you're a machate, but maybe you weren't. Yesterday I was machate. Was I machate today? Was I machate today's walk? Can't remember for sure. So the Taz says that will be a different example of Safik Bishal Hakam, and the Taz is saying. And that too is mutter. That's why the Rambam had that line, Safik Bishal Hakam, the Chain calls Safik Bishal Hakam. Like Hiniach Yisrael, the Safik in Chita, Hiniach HaAkum, Safik in Chita HaYisrael. Chalkos Ben Yamin has a very pretty discussion on the Biurim. Points out a lot of funny things about the Rama. Number one, he already told me Safik Dvarim Lahakol. So why do you have to then say, and the same will be true for any other Safik Bishal Hakam? Obviously, if the reason for this Safik being much is Safik Dvarim Lahakol, so it's going to be true for any Safik Bishal Hakam. So it seems sort of superfluous. Number two, you wonder, what's Bechayotze though? Any Safik Bishal Hakam, Vichai, or something similar to Bishal Hakam. In similar what way? I mean, other Drabbanans? Now it is further superfluous. I know there's a rule of Safik Bishal Hakam. Simen Kuf Yud Gimel is not the headquarters of Safik Bishal Hakam. So it's a curious, doubly curious language of the Rabbah. So Chalak Ben Yamin in the Beurim, he adopted the style of the Mishnah Berurah. So he has the Chalkas Binyam is like Mishnah Berurah style. Piskei Halacha, the main discussion. And then he has a footnote, his own footnotes are in the Tziyunim, like the Mishnah Berurah Shara Tziyun. And the more lengthy discussions are in the Beurim, like the Mishnah Berurah's Beir Halacha. So the Chalkas Binyam explains, he thinks what's going on is let's begin by appreciating. And when the Taz had said, another case of Safik Bishal Hakam would be Safik Chita Yisrael, what's the difference between the original case of the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch versus that case? Well, obviously it's whether Hiniach Yisrael and Hafach HaAkam or Hiniach HaAkam and Hafach Yisrael. Fundamentally, the difference is it a Safik with a Cheskas Heter or a Safik with a Cheskas Isser? That the classic case that the Rashba was discussing, the Shulchan Aruch quoted, was Hiniach Yisrael, and then it started out okay. I don't know what happened afterwards. So it's a Cheskas Heter. It's a Safek of the Cheskas Heter. The Talz's case is a Safek of the Cheskas Isser. The Nachri had put it on the fire. If I stoked the fire, I made it mutter, because Ashkenazim assumed the Chitoy works even for Bishul. But as things stood, it was Becheskas Isser. A Nachri had put it on the fire. It's more or less, it's on track if nothing happens. Not Usser yet, because it hasn't cooked perhaps enough yet, but it's on track to become Usser. Maybe I made a Mutter, or maybe not. So that's first step. That's what the Taz is adding, that I would say Safek. What the Taz is understanding, that the Rama is adding, Chain Kol Safik Bishal Hakam, is even not only this case where it's Safik Rabbanan and also Cheskas Heter, but even a Safik Rabbanan with Cheskas Isser. So sort of the two features are pushing against each other. And then the Chalak Ben Yamin says, you know, Achronim elsewhere debate this. Is it true? Based on a Russian Gittin, I think. Is it? Maybe. Is it necessarily true? The Safik Rabban Lahakol is true even neged Cheskas Isser. Not so pasha. Chalak Ben Yamin says maybe that's what's going on here, that explains why the Rambam felt the need to say Chen Kol Safik Bishal Hakam, and the V'chayotze Bo. What was V'chayotze Bo? He says maybe he does not mean all Drabbanans. He means Drabbanans specifically a subset of Drabbanans that are similar to Bishal Hakam. In other words, he says, maybe normally, maybe the implication of the Rambam the Taz is that for a regular din drabanan, yes, safek drabanan la'akal, against the cheska sesir will be aser. But here, because it's merely bishalakam, so here we can be makel even against the cheska sesir. What mean merely bishalakam? So two possibilities. One is, because it's only mishum chashash chasnas. Their first approach is not as appealing. Number one, what does chasnas necessarily have to do? It's not clear why suffix, you know, if you're worried about possibly chasnas, you know, it's not clear why the svara of chasnas somehow, you know, allows you to make on a suffix. Moreover, this is based on a Rashba. I mean, as we remember, the Rashba had been the leader of the Loplug camp. So now the Rashba doesn't say the second line to be makel even in this case. Okay, so maybe you can say that he means chasnas. Alternatively, more broadly, all the Rishonim accept. Rashba himself had said in Sif Tazayin the context of kasher. Even the Rashba said you got a kasher, but he said you got a kasher kalin that became trade from Bishalakim. The Rashba is a low plug man, but he says you have the right to take some more liberties because this is a low level din drabanan. That was Sif Tazayin. It's a isra drabanan she'ain lo ikra min hatorah. It's not an extension. It's not an extension of a din daraisa. It's a pure isra drabanan, totally new isra drabanan. It's not like basa b'chav daraisa, basa b'chav drabanan. Bishalakim is that was the last line in the Shulchan Aruch in the Siman. Pnei she'ain lo isra zeh ikra b'daraisa. That was the Rashba. So that may be driving what's going on here also. That in the Chanami, this is the Rashba's original case was a regular Safed Rabban Lahakal. But the Rama is saying even Keneged Cheskes Isser is Mutter because this is a Safed low level Drabban. And other Safed low level Drabbans also are Mutter even against a Cheskes Isser. Okay. Okay, so that's Sif Yud Aleph. And then we turn our attention to Sif Yud Gimel. Just to clarify, we had already earlier in our Limud learned Sif Tes Zayin, the last Sif. There have been two of the Naftaminas in the whole Machlokas Rajbar Arur Lo Plug versus shaped by Chasnas about the Kasher and Kalim and about the Nachar Shabisha Lachol B'Shavas. Si'ifim Yud Beis, Yud Dalid, and Tezvav, we had also already touched on earlier at the very beginning of this seminar. We were talking about the two major conditions to determine whether or not a food is vulnerable to Bishalakim, susceptible to Bishalakim, Nechak Moshe Chai, and Ola Shalachim Lachim. Si'ifim Yud Beis, Yud Dalid, and Tezvav are all details within the definition of Nechal Kamoshe Chai. We already touched on it then. It's talking about nechal kamoshu chai that was edible raw. The nachar may have enhanced the apple by baking it, but a raw apple is perfectly edible. The nachar may have enhanced my water by boiling it and maybe infusing it with coffee or tea or whatever else. But lamaisa, cold water is perfectly drinkable as well. Nechal kamoshu chai is not susceptible to bishlakim. So that's the discussion. Seifin yudbeis yudal tezvav. Are that's true if it's really nechal kamo shulchai. It's only nechal kamo shulchai the chak. It's barely nechal chai, which most poskim understand not to be qualitatively. I would eat it if I was stuck on a desert island, if I was really really hungry. Most poskim assume it, instead it means something quantitative. There are a small meat of people who eat it, but most people don't. So that we already discussed. What remains to be discussed is the Sif Yud Gimel. Now, the reason why they're intermingled here in the Shulchan Aruch is because the Necha Kamo Shuchai discussion comes in part from the discussion about Dag Maliach. That was part of the overlay in the way the Rashba dealt with Dag Maliach. Sometimes that was the Gemara Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, where the Gemara had said, Dagim near the top, right after we developed the basic principles of Nechal Chai and Ol Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara had said, pretty quickly got into Dagim, Tana Malucha, Emem Shem Bishalakim. If the Nachri, if you have a small fish, and Nachri salted it, So the fact that it's salty, you might not have eaten it raw, but you would eat it salted. So you have herring, you have sardines, something like that, even though they weren't cooked. If they were salted, that's already edible enough that even though the Nachri subsequently grilled them or cooked them or fried them, I'm not sure that frying herring enhances the flavor, although the Rishonim here discussed that, the Haggadah Sashrit. Okay, whatever it is, even if it enhances the flavor, but I could have eaten the herring straight out of the jar, salted, not raw, but not cooked or fried. So it's sort of the equivalent of Nechel Chai, not literally Nechel Chai, it's Nechel Maliach, but the point is not cooked. It could have been Nechel without his cooking, so then I don't need, even though he cooked it, enhanced it, still mutter. So that's one point that the Gemara makes here in Lam Ches Amar Aleph. So again, so that had gotten into discussion, maybe a dog cut on Maluach is fully edible, but a dog gold on Maluach is not fully edible. Okay. So that, again, went to the discussion of Seifim Yud Beis, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, about different fruits and eggs and different size salted fish. If it's fully edible before the cooking, so then the Nachri's cooking doesn't make it bishalakim. But if it was only barely borderline edible, Nachachai de'etchak, that's not good enough. The Nachri's cooking counts, and there's going to be a bishalakim problem. Okay. So on the one hand, we're mentioning melichas, the melicha of the fish, as something that is adequate, is powerful, is significant in the sense that it takes away a bishalak, potential bishalakim problem. If the fish is rei maluach, if it's a da'katan, fish is rei maluach, so that alone made it nechal, and therefore a subsequent cooking by the nachri, a subsequent salia by the nachri will not create a bishalakim problem, because it's the equivalent of nechal chai. If you want to be technical, it's nechal machmas milcha. Chai means raw. But then we come to Sifir Gimel, which is, how about the malicha itself? And that is something that's derived from some Gemara or another. Most Rishonim assume that, with the notable exception of the Rashbam, quoted by the Agos Ashri, most Rishonim assume, and Shulchan Ripaskin, Sifri Gimel, like the Rov Rishonim, that although malicha is significant, lahakel, bimoleach a fish, the fact that something is already nechal machas milcho means that a subsequent bishul doesn't count, doesn't create an iser. On the other hand, melicha is insignificant in terms of itself. The fact that the nachri took a fish and salted it and converted it from raw to tasty, melicha's akum is not the same as bishul akum. That comes from one of two gemaras. Number one, the gemara we just read, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Dagim Katana Meluchim, Ein Behem Shum Bishul Akum, who was Moleach them? Who was Moleach them? So some Rishonim seem to understand means that's the way the Rambam quotes it. Now Tosus says, Bishlon Akum Achashon Molchan Yisrael. That's how Tosus opens. But the Rambam, I believe, quotes it as there are meluchim. Doesn't matter who was moleach them. There are meluchim. So then the subsequent bishul akum won't be a problem. It sounds like the nachri was moleach them, and it's still a mutter. I think that he's reading into this gemara. Moreover, there's a gemara on Lamed Ches Amud Beis that also might be talking about this. Gemara is a machlokas lam chesam beis about dag maliach. Chizki says it's mutter, Yechon says it's azer. A discussion out of paskin, back and forth. The Gemara handles. Gemara talks about other cases also about the beitza. Right now we're just focused on the dag maliach. Chizki says it's mutter, Yechon says it's azer. And the Rif already quotes, and the Rosh Kedarko quotes the language of the Rif from Gaonim, that at least as far as Dag Maliach, we paskin mutter, like Chizkiah against Rabbi Yochan. We don't pass like Rabbi Yochan comes to the Dag Maliach. Okay, so Dag Maliach is mutter. What's the case? What is the case of Dag Maliach? What is the case of Dag Maliach? So, So that you may have seen, that you saw as machlokas or rishonim. Rashi says, the agmalech is our case. You have a fish, and the nachri salted it. And Chizki and Yochanan are arguing over this issue. Is melicha sa'akum like bishal akum? So the nachri salted that itself is a problem, just like bishal akum is a problem, melicha sa'akum is a problem. And that's what Yochanan says. And Chizki says, no, it's mutter. And how do we pass? We pass like Chizki, that's mutter. Okay. That's what Rashi says. The Rashba says, and that's what the Rambam said. The Rashba said, personally, he seems to be more inclined to the Ravid, who goes even further. He says, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Of course that's mutter. Malicha sa'akum. Of course it's mutter. It's not Bishal. It's not even a machlokas Amaram. The Amaram is talking about something else. Okay. So what do we have? The Ravid and the Rashba say, avada malichas ha'akum is mutter. It's not Bishal akum. Rashi, maybe the Rambam, say the Amoram debated it. We paskin like Rechizki, it's mutter. Then you have a third possibility, which is Rashbam. Hagos Ashikotz Rashbam. He agrees with Rashi that that's what Chizki of Yochanan are debating. He disagrees with the Rif and thinks we should paskin like of Yochanan le'asor. So if you make two assumptions, that the Amoram were debating the status of Melichas Akum and that we paskin like of Yochanan's Aser, so that's where the Rashbam comes and says, Taka, if a Nachri salts fish, took a raw fish and he salted it, and now it's tasty and delicious. If Rashbam, Hagos Hashikos Rashbam, if indeed it's tasty and delicious, so then if the Nachri made the herring, beforehand it was inedible, and now it's fantastic, ready to come out of the jar onto my plate. So the Rashbam says, ooh, that's a problem. Malichas Akum is like Bishal Akum. But we don't pass them that way. Either we think, we agree with the Rashbam and the Rashi, that's what the Gemara was discussing on Al Chesan Beis, but that we pass like Chizkiyot's Mutter. Or we take the approach of the Rai but the Rashba, that no one ever thought that was elsewhere. Everyone agrees in Lichazak is Mutter. So whether it's Machlokas Amaram or not, we assume that it's Mutter. That indeed is what it says in Desif Yud Gimel. Dagshem Al Chalakum is Mutter. Now, what's the background here? Where does it come from and where does it take us? So first, the where it comes from. What is rooted? What's the whole discussion? You're looking at me. You ought to be looking at me. You're not because you saw the Rashba. You're looking at me like Malicha Zakum Shlokas. And the Rashba indeed says Rashba. The Mishnah says Shlokas. It didn't say Malicha. So why would you think? I mean, if the Nachri unpacks your groceries and there was raw chicken and he put it in the fridge, packaged. They put it in the fridge. If he wouldn't have put it in the fridge, it would have spoiled. That was critical. That you could not be eating this chicken for it, not for the fact that when it was raw, the Nachri refrigerated it. Oh! The Nachri did something absolutely critical. Is that therefore a Bishal Akum problem? Of course not. That's not bad. We appreciate what the Nachri did. That's not Bishal. Chazal never forbade refrigeration Shal Akum. They forbade Bishal Akum. So even though the refrigeration was absolutely critical. Or the Nachri drove the truck. I would have never eaten this chicken where Nachri not have driven it 150 miles. They won't say, therefore, it's also, it's not Bishal Akum. He did something which is critical, but he didn't do Bishal. So why is Malicha, what's the Havamina? What's the Havamina? So Havamina is a little bit of a little bit of Yoredeia, Chel Galif background. We've touched a little bit in the past on Tom Kicker. You know, the Gemara, the Mishnayos and the Gemara have a Chiddush based on Psukim, probably Daraisa, probably based on Psukim. The Gemara discusses which Psukim. That, you have a whole list in the Chumash of 20, 25, 30 different machalos asuris. You can't eat arla fruit, and you cannot eat basa b'chalav, and you cannot eat a piece of meat from a non-kosher animal, and you cannot eat a piece of non-kosher fish, and you cannot eat a piece of meat that didn't have proper shechita, and the veil, and so on and so forth. A whole list of items that are the atzmusam, they are also to eat because of what they are. But let's say I took a piece of bacon, so I'm not allowed to eat bacon, that's Bisar Chazir, it's a law from the Torah, Bisar Behemoth Tameh. Okay, I took the piece of bacon and threw it into a chalt. By accident, on purpose, whatever it is. And then we discover that it cooks Shabbos morning, Givaldik, has a particularly attractive smell. Mayim Genuvim Yom Taku. What went right with the chalent this week? And you put two and two together, you realize, someone put the tray for meat in the chalent. So, So what you just, our instinct is you got to throw the child out. Why? I understand you have to scoop the piece of meat out. You can't eat that piece of meat. It's bizarre behemoth tomato. But I took it out. What's wrong with eating the potato and the beans and the barley? They're not bizarre behemoth tomato. They're not basar. They're potatoes, beans, and barley. They're not basar at all. They're not bizarre behemoth Torah or bizarre behemoth tomato. So why is it us? So the answer is, when you eat the potato, you're not eating bizarre behemoth tomato, but you're eating a potato that has a flavor of bizarre behemoth tomato. And we assume ta'am ke'ikr. The flavor is like the thing itself. Just like I can't eat an ikr, a shtick, a piece of bizarre behemoth tomato, I also can't eat some other food that has a flavor of bizarre behemoth tomato. Tov. You get to Hilchos Basar V'Chalav Mitzvah. So, plenty to talk about that. We talk about that somewhere in Taruvus. And that is the major, that's the main course, no pun intended, of Basar V'Chalav. It's the ins and outs of Ta'am Ke'ikr. For now, let's talk about one aspect of it, which is, whenever you deal with, you know, milk has gotten to something fleshix, or treif got into something otherwise kosher, so you're always looking at two things. Number one, is there any residue? Are there any pieces? I used a spoon, I accidentally used a kosher spoon to spoon out some treif of jam, spoon out some treif of mayonnaise, whatever it is, to slice some, to spread some treif of margarine. So number one, I have to figure out, well, is there any of that treif of margarine or the treif of lard, is there any residue, is there any actual be'en left on the surface of the spoon? Some treif of lard got smeared onto some kosher food, formerly kosher food. Number one, is there any residue, actual be'en, pieces, bits of the lard that's still lying on top of the surface of the kosher food or the kosher kli? That's number one. Is there any be'en? Is there any residue left? Question number two is, even if I clean off this surface thoroughly, then maybe there was an absorption of flavor. I have to worry about ta'am ke'ikr. And when I ask myself, was there any absorption of flavor, the first question you ask yourself is, well, is there a driver, is there a force that could have caused the transmission of flavor? It doesn't just happen on its own. Just because I had a spoon, a kosher spoon, sitting on top of tray for lard, mamash, pick that. It doesn't mean that the spoon is there for a treif, and we have to clean off the surface. But how would flavor have gotten absorbed into the spoon or into some other food? Only if there was, step number one, is only if there was a driver of flavor transfer. What are the drivers of flavor transfer? You learn Basar V'Chalav, you get the impression that there's more or less five possible drivers of time transfer. The most popular one is heat. Cooking, frying, baking, etc. Right? Like the example we gave, the treif of meat and the chalt. So there's cooking altogether, the cooking, the heat spread the flavors of the flavor of the bacon to the rest of the contents of the pot. That heat is the most common method, force for ta'am transfer, but it's not the only one. Sometimes there are four types of belia betzonin. You can have a belia, absorption of flavor beyond the surface, even though it's cold. One is famously the combination of pressure and a sharp food, cutting an onion, cold onion with a cold knife, or spearing a pickle with a fork. So that combination of a davar charif, a sharp food, together with the pressure of the tines of the fork or the cutting of the knife. So the combination of those two factors can create a time transfer. Again, a lot of details, not for now. Number two, based on the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a very, very porous food, a very spongy food, so if it sits in liquid, it's going to absorb the flavor of the liquid. Okay, and then two more which are relevant to our discussion. The Gemara has a principle in the of Kofi Aleph, elsewhere, Maliach Kerosech and Kavish Kemavushal, that something salty is the same as something that's hot, and soaking or pickling in liquid, kavush, is kimavusha, like cooking. So what does that mean? So that is those are principles that are true in several contexts. Number one, in the context of ta'am ke'ikr, that if a food soaks in liquid for 24 hours, even though everything is cold, you have a raw piece of meat soaking in milk for 24 hours, washing off the surface is not going to help. The cold soak for 24 hours, the kavush is kimavushal. It already absorbed. There's an absorption of flavor. It's not just a question of surface residue. Or you had a spicy, a salty. It wasn't. If you have bland treif of meat, bland meat on top of bland cheese, or bland treif of meat on top of kosher meat, so then wash off the surface. And in principle, you're okay. But if it's a salty piece of treif of meat, then maliach is it as though even though it's cold, if it's salty, it's though it's hot. It's gonna leach out its flavor. You're gonna have a leaching of a salty meat and salty cheese. So there's gonna be flavors are gonna be transferred. It comes up. Those who learn Kesem Varchin, it's also a Lamed Chesem Beis. Lamed Chesem Beis. Kavish Kemavushal also comes up. You can't have matzah is not valid for the mitzvah of mivushalas. Mor is not valid for the mitzvah of mivushalas. Or if it's kavish. Leave your mara soaking in a bucket of water for 24 hours, it's no longer viable for the mitzvah of mara. This is a general principle. Kavish kemavushal maliach kereseach. And that's the background for the discussion over here. Well, maliach is like bishul in other contexts. So how about malichas ha'akum? Maybe it's like bishul for bishul akum also. So according to Rashi, that's what the Amoraim were debating on Lamed Chesem and Beis. Rashbam goes further and says, "And we pass Rabbi Yochanan as Taka Treif." Most Rishonim say, "No. We like the Rif. We pass like Chizkiya. That's Motir." And again, the Rashba said, based on the Raven, I don't think no Amor even entertained this. Malicha is Motir. So come on, the Gemara says, Mishnah said Shlachas, and once you understand Malich Kiraseh Kavish Kemavushal are parallel concepts, you appreciate the Rashba's another one of the Rashba's rise. He says, "Look at there was a series of three Mishnayos here." That we had begun. We have a series of three Mishnayot here towards the end of the second parak of Avodah Zarah on Chavtes, I think it was. Or Lamed was the first Mishnah. Chavtes and Beis was a list of items that if you buy them from the Nachri, they might be Asur Bahana, meaning there's a Avodah Zarah concern. And then the second Mishnah was Lamed Heyman Beis, our Mishnah. Items which aren't Asur Bahana, but there's a but it's Asr Ba'achila. And on that list had been Shlakos, Bishalakos. And then, finally, Chav Lamed Teslam Ebeis, the third Mishnah, which a contrast, I mean, a counterpoint to our Mishnah, is things which are not only not Asr Ba'ana, they're not even Asr Ba'achila. Here are items that don't need Hashkacha. You can buy it from the Nachar without Hashkacha. It comes up in Simon Kuf Yedal. Most, not all, most of Kofi Dal is about that. Which items can you buy from a Nachri without Hashkacha? The details have changed nowadays because the food technology is different. But the concept is the same. If you're certain enough there are no non-kosher ingredients and there's no concern of Bishul Akum, okay, you're not worried about it. You're certain enough that there's no concern of non-kosher equipment. So nowadays, that list is shorter. It includes unflavored coffee. And it probably includes the extra virgin olive oil, one or two other things. Okay. In America, it includes unflavored milk, unless you're concerned about chalav dam. But you have a list of items here, Lamed Teslam Beis, items where there's no concern. You could buy the finachar without even having to worry about a concern of tarfus. One of those items is kavashim, pickled foods, those sorts of pickled foods that where you're not concerned that the finachar may have put in wine. And Lamed Heyam Beis said, if there is a concern of wine, okay. Maybe treif. Don't worry about treif ingredients. But if it's a pickled food where we know that the recipe does not include wine, then it's kosher. The Rashi says, what do you forget about non-kosher ingredients? Kavush! The Nachris pickled it. Why not say, it's kevisha sa'akam, kavush kemavushal, says the Rashi. The clear implication of the Mishnah is that kevisha sa'akam is not the same as bishul akam. Now the Ran says it's not watertight raya. Sorry, no pun intended there. Not a watertight raya. He says there could be some. Maybe we're talking about a pickled item that's not olo shulchan malachim. Or maybe talk a pickled item that's nechal kamal shulchai. If the nachri pickles, what we call stam pickles, cucumbers, people eat raw cucumbers also. So if a nachri pickles cucumbers, for sure it's not a asr, it was nechal chai. So Ryan says he's not sure that's necessarily a raya, but be that as the mehalachal maisi, we do assume. As Shulchan Aruch says, that Malichas Ha'akum is not the same as Bishul Akum. Ramah says, Kavush is not Kimavushal, And a third case, which the Rishonim have, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Me'ushan, smoking. If a Nachri smoked food, it's also not a problem of Bishul Akum. That is based on Yerushalmi, the Rishonim point to. The Rambam quotes that Me'ushan is not a problem, based on Yerushalmi in the Dharm. Okay, so that's the din. Rashbam notwithstanding, we clearly pass him. Melichas Akum doesn't make treif. Bishul Akum, Kavishas Akum doesn't make treif. Ishan Akum doesn't make treif. A couple of key nekudos with which we close. There is a debate. What do you mean by Ishan? Smoking, how? There are two types of smoking. It's cold smoking and hot smoking. Obviously, smoke starts hot. Smoke comes from fire. But there are different types of smoking apparatuses. Sometimes you have a very tall, pieces of equipment. We have the fire at the bottom that's producing the smoke. Obviously the fire is hot, but by the time the smoke reaches all the way up to the top, where the sliced salmon is hanging, at that point the smoke has cooled down. So that's cold smoke. I think lox is usually cold smoke. Check the packages. So that's the vaday mutter. Cold smoking is vaday mutter. That's what we said. That parallels Moliach and Kavush. It's Sony, not hot. Some posts can say even hot smoking is mutter. Now, why would that be mutter? 1 second, but it's hot. So why? It's not like Kavush. It's not like Moliach. It's hot. It's hot. So you have a small, tight smoking smoker. You're smoking brisket, and it's right near the fire, and the hot smoke. So why is that mutter? So those who are mekel say, well, it's not the same as the dominant svara ki mekel and hot smoking for those who are mekel, is that unlike grilling or cooking or frying, where the only thing that's making the food edible is heat, here it's a combination. It's the heat, but also the acridity, the sharpness of the smoke. It's being cured by the smoke as while it's being grilled by the heat. So maybe that's mutter. Okay, that's a machlokas poskim. There's a miut of small miut of poskim whom we probably do not accept. And Shechter talks about this in his tshuva about tuna fish, the kashrus of canned tuna fish. Put the marav kama simen tazainos test. There's a small miut of poskim who take the hot smoking heter and go a step further. They say, how about steam, steaming. A small minority post will say, even steaming, the Nachri steamed raw food, that is mutter. It's not Bishul Akum. Why, pray tell, is not Bishul Akum? Well, why is it any different than any other type of heat? And you're not going to have the same svar you had that's a combination of the heat and the sharpness of the smoke. It's all just the heat. So the only way you could say it would be to say that smoking is not mutter because of the acridity of the smoke. It's a mutter because it's an indirect application of heat. Indirect application of heat. Lefi that, you know what else you'd be mekel on? This is usually we think of it in a Jewish context. If you read Dira Days, that fantastic kuntres on kashrus shilas in yeshiva dorms. It's a very interesting sociological study and interesting halachas also. So let's say you cook something on a radiator, an old-fashioned radiator. So that's ketor. That's also, it's an indirect. The boiler is in the basement, and the steam is a vehicle to transmit the heat to here. So, that's not a very likely scenario of Bishul Akum. What is a likely scenario of Bishul Akum with steam is canned foods. The way canned foods are typically manufactured, you notice that when you open a can, the food is invariably sitting in water, even if you're not really interested in the water, and there's always a little bit of headspace, airspace on top. That's because the way they can foods typically is they put the raw food into the can, pack it with water, leave a little bit of space on top and seal it, and they then pass it on a conveyor belt through a steam jack. And you have a space that's filled with superheated steam, and you can dial up or down the temperature of the steam, and you can dial up or down the speed of the conveyor belt. Sort of like, you know, sometimes you see in those toaster machines, sometimes in a yeshiva charocho, you put the bread on and the conveyor belt, and you can set this the heat and the and the speed of the conveyor belt. So in many canning factories, there's a similar type of idea. You have a steam jacket with superheated steam. There's a boiler down below, and they're recycling, keep cycling, boiling and cycling the steam through the steam jacket. So canned foods are cooked al yedei kitor. So there is a small minority of poskim who said all canned foods are not bishlakim problem because it's canned, because it's steamed, and therefore it's mutter. We don't accept that. Nafkamina is, do you just need yotzei v'nichnas to give ashkacha, or do you need a Yisrael, the mashkiach there at the beginning of every run of canning to turn on the fire? So we are not makel on the kitor. It's a very small minority poskim are makel on kitor ha'akam. The hot smoke is more of a open machlokas ha'poskim. One last point is what we are makel on broadly is microwaving. Microwaves usually are used for reheating, so that's not a bishlakim problem anyways. But let's say you're going to microwave Dunkin' Donuts often, they microwave the those egg discs, which I believe are raw. They come raw, and not just heating them in the microwave, they're cooking them in the microwave. Now, it's not clear that those egg discs are olal shulchan malachim. It's a little bit of a stretch. But I'll be pashtus, even if they are olal shulchan malachim, the fact that they're being microwaved, you're allowed to have the nachri put the raw eggs in the microwave, and without any Jewish participation, because the microwaving, you are getting the food hot, but obviously there's no conduction or convection. It's a totally different process. So you're just you're directly getting the water molecules in the food to heat up through radiation. It's supposed to consume that's Ishan plus. That's most definitely different enough from Bishul or Tzalia that does not, even if the food that you're dealing with is raw. And the Nachri is talking making something in the microwave that's all Shulchan Malachim, but still that's different enough, like Ishan, that does not pose a Bishlakim problem. Okay? Hadron Lach Simon Kuf Yigimon. Hadron Halam.